Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today.
Good morning and welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Barbara Eldridge, your host for Trendsetting Women. And with me today is our leading lady, Suzanne Romo, Farmers Insurance Agent, writer, author, speaker, art photographer. She's got them all. So welcome, Suzanne.
Hey, Barbara. Great to be here.
Oh, well, it's wonderful to have you. You know, it's just so interesting to see where all the things that first off that you do when you get done in being a top producer in the insurance industry and yet still being able to do all those other things. So, you know, what is success to you? Is it about being a top producer or any of those other things or overcoming something from your past?
Well, you know, when I was younger, I'm 49 now. When I was younger, getting achievements and awards was definitely very important to me. It helped validate me. but I think, and who doesn't like an award? But really, as the older I've gotten, and I think just having been as successful as I've been fortunate to be, right now for me it's more about the fulfillment of the work and really feeling that I'm contributing. And I'd like to tell people I'm an artist who happens to own an insurance agency, so I get to have the best of both worlds, both the business part and the artistic part.
Well, that artistic part is just, you know, what people don't see, you know, as a salesperson. They don't see creativity in sales. And yet you've had a huge, huge capacity for it. How did it get started? How does that enter into your overall success?
Okay, well, just so you know, I used to be so bad at sales I couldn't close the door. I'm serious. The first 6 months of my insurance financial services career, everybody said no to me, and I was going out on appointment after appointment after appointment. It was very discouraging and very hard for my soul because I don't deal with rejection very well. But what I learned was I started taking sales seminar courses, and I started memorizing scripts, and I talked to enough people that I learned that there's only 10 questions that anybody asks. And as soon as I finally figured out, you know, the answers to those 10 questions, I relaxed. And sales became fun because it became a conversation, not a sales process. Once I knew what to say and once I knew what people were going to ask and knew the answers to, I could literally listen to them. Sales was hard until I learned to relax and listen. And once I was able to listen authentically to them, the sales process became effortless.
I love that word, effortless. Because, you know, most small business owners don't see it that way, Suzanne.
No, and I'm an overnight success starting in 1986 until now. So, you know, I really had to learn to get out of my own way. By memorizing these things and learning what people really and truly wanted, then it really became me as a caring individual who wanted to solve people's problems and protect them. If you had told me I was going to be an insurance agent when I was a little kid, I would have laughed hysterically at you. you know. And
well,
but now I can. Mm-hmm.
It's always, you know, you and I, of course, have shared many networking opportunities together. And it's always been your presentation of just, you know, wanting to sit down with people so to make sure that they're on the right track. And I, you know, whether or not you sell them something, and I think that's what I've always admired about you, because it didn't always turn into a sale, but you were willing to sit there and listen.
Yes, and I think once people realize that, and I'm very direct with them, like you were talking about, I tell them, look, I really don't care whether you do business with me. I mean, I hope you do, but the reality is I want to make sure you're protected. And then that essentially lets them relax as well, because they're not, you know, not listening to me. They've gone from being consumers who are like, oh, God, when's the sales pitch going to come, to, okay, you know, let's just have a conversation with this woman. And again, that's what also makes it really easy, because I just know it's a numbers game, and I just have to know my numbers, I have to know my ratios, and then I just have to talk to enough people. And I may not be able to help somebody personally, like with my product, but the fact that I help them leads to referrals left and right, because people are just, you know, shocked that, you know, somebody would actually help them without expecting gain.
Wow. So you have other people that work under you in the, in your office that
yes.
gives you a little bit of freedom.
Yes, I learned from going to a couple achievement championship type of events. I had the privilege of talking to a lot of very, very, very successful insurance professionals, and I asked them why were they here in Hawaii? Why were they here in the Bahamas and everybody else wasn't? And the number one answer was staff. You have to get staff, and the only way for you to have freedom is to stop doing the $10 an hour work. And while there's nothing wrong with the $10 an hour work, it does not create a business. And that, I think, is one of the biggest things that catapulted me forward, was I hired somebody before I could afford her.
Wow.
Yeah, I took the risk, and I brought somebody on board. And, you know, she started out, and I told her, just stick with me. As my fortunes improve, your fortunes will improve. And 9 years later, she runs my entire agency.
So you can go about being the creative.
Correct. Yes, I can go out and I can be the problem solver. I can be the creative. I can do the fun laughing and, you know, having networking lunches and coffees and making friends with people. And then she takes care of the day to day. And she loves that. She would hate doing my job, but she loves that I create a job for her by my action.
Wow. So would you label success for you about the achievement or about a sense of fulfillment?
It really is a sense of fulfillment. And really, for me, I've always been successful in business, but it really didn't fulfill me. You know, it paid the bills, and I enjoy insurance. Make no mistake about that. But I really am a creative person. I finally have had the courage, and I've healed enough from my background to claim that. And the creative side for me fulfills my soul and actually makes me a better insurance agent.
Well. So why don't you share, you know, a couple of those creative things that you do?
Okay.
That have helped your success or your sense of fulfillment?
Well, one of the biggest things, people know me as an insurance agent, but I'm actually a writer, and I write at healingjourneyblog.com, and I started doing that about 4 or 5 years ago. And what it really did was it helped me claim myself as a writer, and it helped me heal from a lot of the abuse that I had experienced. And because I had gone through a lot of child abuse, I really, even though I looked very successful and financially I was, emotionally I was very unsuccessful, but I hid it very well. So by claiming my writing and starting to write on a regular basis and starting to very tentatively tell people I'm a writer, even though it didn't sound like it in the beginning, I felt like I was a big phony on that. You know, it's like, no, I'm a writer, really, really, I am, I swear. Now, and you know, But you claim it, and all of a sudden, it happens. You know, and I was, one of my blog posts, I was interviewed by the New York Times, and that was interesting, just having that, the interview request from the New York Times show up in my email. I was hovering my finger over the delete button going, ooh, you know, what if this is really true? You know, and then on my photography, I was always told that in my family that I was the business person, I was not the artist. And so I would just take photography, but I would hide it. And then my husband and I buy art when we travel. And one day he's all, why are we putting everybody else's art up? Why aren't we putting yours up?
Wow.
So, yeah. So he was actually the one that freed me for that. And that led to me being confident to take more pictures and show people who I am. It's really easy for me to be confident as a business person, but to put myself out there as the, an artistic person, I mean, that's your soul, or at least that's my soul, so I can, rejection can be much more damaging to me.
Well, sure, somebody then can come back to you with something, but that doesn't sound like that happened for you. Do you actually sell artwork now?
I do. I have a line of photo note cards, and I sell those at various retail stores in the San Diego area, and I am working on getting a website up, you know, priority number 382 of all the things I have to get done. You know, but, you know, I'll sell them at networking meetings, and I'll sell them at craft fairs, stuff like that. But, yes, my friend actually just recently taught me how to add a PayPal button to my website. So hooray, hooray, sales may happen online.
Oh, there you go. So tell me more about the writing. Where has that led? I mean, you know, one thing always leads to another. And you know, then in my mind, it's then having the time to follow that next thing. So, you know, tell me about how the healing blog has led to other things for you, because that seems to be becoming an entity in its own right now.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Julie and Julia, and at the very end of the movie, because she'd been blogging, all of a sudden, you know, the New York Times was calling her, people wanted to do a movie, and it was actually watching that movie at the very end going, hey, I'm a writer, I'm going to start writing, and that's why I started writing the Healing Journey blog. And it's, you know, people talk about the, you know, law of attraction, but, you know, you have to also get off your butt and go out and do something to actually manifest the law of attraction. Otherwise, it just kind of shows up and just kind of hangs out. But what happened was by writing the blog and then getting followers and having more people say, oh, my God, I thought I was alone. I thought I was the only one that was suffering from, you know, the shame and humiliation of the abuse, and thank you for your blog. I slowly started building an audience, and then I gathered my courage after hiring a coach, a creativity coach, not a business coach, but a creativity coach, and I submitted a book proposal to Christine Closer's Pebbles in the Pond contest. And this is a big contest. There was tons of prizes, including professional, you know, agent representation, but her prize was the biggest, and that was a $10,000 coaching package. I don't actually get the $10,000. It's one of those, you know, value of, mm-hmm. of type of thing.
Right.
Just the act of submitting that book proposal was amazing and cathartic and extraordinarily frightening. I mean, that... To submit that out there and say, oh, my God, she and other people could reject me again, that was one of the biggest frightenings. Oh, I'm frightened every day. The only difference in me and somebody else is I just get past it. I've learned to face whatever I'm afraid of. And so I won this massive contest that I'm still quite not – I learned on October 20th, and I still can't believe I won it, that thousands of people – you know, entered.
Submitted. Wow.
Submitted, yeah. And so I'm going to be in June in her award-winning best-selling series, Pebbles in the Pond, and I'll be wave 4. And people like Jack Canfield, Lisa Nichols, Sark, Marianne Williamson have written in this series. So this is a really big deal.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. And I'm still, whenever I talk to her, I'm like, are you sure I'm the winner? She's like, Suzanne, you are the winner. Just relax. You know, that's a history of abuse kicking in. That's the self-esteem challenge. But because of that, it's given me also the courage to come out with my own memoir, which is titled Pieces of Me, How Forgiveness Mended a Shattered Soul. And I'm planning to have that out in May. And so I'll actually have my own book, and then I will also have the chapter in this anthology series. So it's amazing. And, you know, the funny thing on this, really, and truly, you were talking about, you know, kind of how, like, once things start to move.
Mm-hmm.
I've been submitting pieces to magazines and op-eds and things like that, and, you know, not really getting, you know, much. But as soon as I said, oh, I'm going to be a published author, oh, it's like magic. Oh, what do you want your byline to be? Who are you? Well, submit something. And it's like, okay, I'm the same person on October 19th that I was on October 20th. But what it is people's perception changes.
Yep.
You know, and you have to go out there and claim it. You have to go out and claim who you are. That's what I've learned.
And so how, you know, I wrote in here something about your inventfulness when I wrote up you know, so we have photography, we have writing. You also, you know, before we go to the inventing process, you also do workshops. Are you now training other people? What you know, for your agency, or what? How are you working with that?
I actually created a workshop called Synergy Networking, The Marketing Road Less Traveled. And it's based on another book that I have coming out in 2015. And what it really is based on what we started this conversation about was I didn't know what to do, and I was terrified and I was afraid. And what I learned was by helping other people, I became a connector and I became the center of influence. So in my Synergy Networking workshop and book, what I teach entrepreneurs is how to chase connections, not chase clients. And if you chase the right connections, you make connections with people that are synergistically, not strategically, but synergistically appropriate for you, your business will explode and you will have tons of time. You know, people ask, well, how do you have so much time? It's like, I have so much time because what I do is I network, I don't sell. My networking partners sell for me because they're so enthusiastic about how I've helped them.
And I think, you know, if everybody just, I mean, that's how I have developed my business. You know, I can't sell what I do. When I network and people meet me, then they're willing to at least, you know, check out what I do. But, you know, otherwise, you know, we can't put an ad in the paper and people are drawn to us. So I hear what you're saying.
It's just if
everybody would just learn how to do it and do it right.
Right. And what I teach people is, I'm in insurance, for example. Let's say I've got a lender, which is one of my primary, what we would call a strategic partner. What I do, strategic partners are, it's a linear transactional relationship.
Mm-hmm.
He or she refers me business. I close the deal. Congratulations, thank you. But I take it a step further and I say, okay, let's become synergistic. So 1 + 1 = 5 or 6 or 7. And so I'm going to take that person and I'm going to promote them. I'm going to introduce them to other realtors. I'm going to introduce them to other insurance agents. As counterintuitive as that may seem, it's because I'm showing them that I am connected and I care about them. You know, so they know that to be with me means to have access to my tribe. And that's mm-hmm. something that has nothing to do with transactions, and it's 100% relationship-driven. And you become a center of influence that way. And, again, life becomes very easy because people are eager to hang around and be around somebody who gives. you know. You and I have talked about that book. Was it The Go-Giver, I think is the name of it?
Right. Yep.
You know, and
that's right.
And it's the same kind of thing. If you will help somebody else get what they need, you're going to get what you need. I think it was Zig Ziglar who said that. And I really took that to heart. And again, it makes for a lot of free time.
Yes, yes, yes. So that you can invent things. Tell me about inventfulness here.
You know, it's funny.
This goes so far beyond writing and photography.
You know, it comes back to my Yankee frugality and practicality. It's probably, well, it's really what it is. And again, I'll get to the inventiveness in just a half a second here. By freeing up myself to be a writer and a photographer and freeing myself up to be a connector, it opened my mind to other things. You know, I wasn't so closed down. I was now open to possibility. And the invention, it's actually a pretty simple thing, and it's based on practicality. I created a reusable cotton eye makeup remover. And the way it really happened was I used those little white cotton circles for my astringent and my astringent in the morning and then eye makeup remover at night. And I looked at it one day and I was like, how much cotton am I actually throwing away? And I was environmentally proactive and green before it became trendy. I was one of the reuse recycle way back when. And so I realized I could crochet a cotton circle in the same size as a throwaway cotton circle. And I made those for me and my husband, because he uses them for his astringent, 2011, so it's 3 years now, four years now almost. Yeah, it's almost 4 years now because it was, I guess, the very beginning. And I started using them, and they lasted for years. And, you know, with the art photography and the writing, it was like, you know, this could maybe be a business. And so I spent the last 3 years figuring out the packaging, getting a trademark going, because it's not a patentable product. Mm. Anybody can add one more stitch to it and it's no longer mine. But what I did patent, what I did trademark was the name. And the name came to me one day from the universe and I was driving around because I'd been trying to figure out what the name was, and they're called Bounds. B as in boy, O-U-N-D-S, for beauty rounds. So they're Bounds. And so I, and I went on Fiverr and I got a logo made, and I went online and did research, tried to find places, you know, where I can get them made. And unfortunately, that kind of industry is no longer in the United States. So it's probably going to be in Mexico. But I've been making them myself personally. And I should start, yeah, I know. I made like almost 200 dozen of them. My fingers, I couldn't use my fingers for a couple of days. It was crazy. Oh my God, that was the wrong thing to do. So I found somebody that'll make them. But so I did them at my first craft fair, and I started selling them again in retail stores. And people are just amazed by them because, you know, I talked to them about the fact that the average person who uses two cotton circles a day throws away about 160 pounds of landfill in their life.
Wow.
So,
I'll tell you, as I said, your inventiveness goes beyond the sales aspect of what you do. So how would you like other people here that are listening to connect with you? Is there a phone number or a website or whatever that they can find you at?
Oh, absolutely. My primary blogging website is www.healingjourneyblog.com, and you can reach me there, and I'm selling my Bounds on there, and I will be selling my book on there eventually. And you can also reach me at my email, which is susannromo, Suzanne Romo, at yahoo.com. Or my cell phone is 619-200-3594, and that cell phone is my agency. I'm hardly ever in the office, so that's the best way to reach me. And And then in January, I will be doing another Synergy Networking workshop. I just haven't hammered out the date yet. I need to find the location.
Okay.
But
and, of course, you're speaking at the Mind Master 2015 Summit about Synergy Networking. Of course.
Thank you very much for that.
Oh, well, that's what strategic partners do, isn't it, Suzanne?
Yes, it is, absolutely. We help each other, and we help each other grow.
Exactly.
I actually, what is Stephen Covey says, think win-win and no deal. In my Synergy Networking, I say, you know, you need to get past that. It's think, grow, or no deal. You know, how am I going to help you grow? And that's actually something anybody who's a salesperson, let me give you the most powerful statement you can ever say to another professional that you want to network with is, hi, my name is so-and-so. How can I help you build your business?
That's fabulous. That's a great way for us to wrap this up. I just want to thank you for being here. And, of course, we'll be eager to see all your books and your products coming out. And I will, at this point, say this is the end of our show. And Suzanne, thank you for being with us today. And a special thanks to our listeners. We'll be back again. I know there'll be someone else leading the way radio show next week. Have a good one. Have a fabulous week. And make it a million-dollar day. Bye now.
Love it. Bye-bye.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.